Tonight, The Rubber Ball by Victor Lévy Beaulieu.
That old man in the corner. See him? The one with the enormous beak. Ask him to tell you a tale. Go on, go on. His glass is almost empty. Fill it for him and you will not be disappointed. Allo, what that old fox has witnessed. He, if anyone, will tell you about this vanishing point.
Well, I'm just an old bureaucrat. I've spent 40 years in the civil service, getting all the poetry and spice and dreams stumped out of me so that I can't tell a half-decent story anymore. Oh, not like my daddy could, or my granddaddy before him. No, I'm not much of... Oh, it's kind of you to say that I'm the best storyteller in Poenigamook. But what does that mean anymore? What does it mean when the whole village has spent the last couple of decades watching color television till its eyes nearly fell off its face, eh? And when almost all the men kill their good brains working for the province. Huh. Oh, I can try, I suppose. I can try and tell you something. I only tell these stories to cheat death anyway. What else is there for an old fool like me to do? I can cheat death for a few minutes, but if I die halfway through this tale, well, so much the better. Okay, now. Chatelain Brack was the coffin maker here in Poenigamook. I guess he was about 50, a bit older. Anyway, he got out of bed one morning, feeling like the saddest piece of garbage. He barely slept the whole night long.
Oh, my gut hurts.
He tried to blame the gut on his wife's cooking, but she was sound asleep, and anyway, he knew it was probably something much worse.
Oh, I bet I'm dying. Oh, this is how it starts. I'm either going to die of a sore gut or from lack of sleep. I can take my pick.
It didn't end there. He looked over at Madame Brack, snoring her head off.
Sleep your life away as if I could care. I'm dying of a sore gut, and you lie there making more noise than the Victoriaville train. Let's see what else can go wrong. Oh, what an ugly day. Thunder, lightning, a sore gut, a snoring wife, a storm coming. That's it. Maybe her new calf has come.
Charlemagne ran full tilt to the barn. He ran so fast, he barely noticed the ominous clouds hovering so close above his head, or the queer way the sun looked, a bit like a goose egg swimming in a sea of grease.
Mathilde! Oh, Mathilde! Mathilde, you have given me a new calf.
And Charlemagne Brack began to think he was wrong about the day, that all the gloomy portents amounted to nothing compared to the joy of the new life before his eyes. But then Mathilde's little calf stumbled and fell.
Mother of God, three legs? Mathilde! Your baby is missing a leg. Oh, no. What a sign. What a sign. What can it mean?
The baby's coming.
Oh, not today.
Oh, I've, I have forgot to tell you, Madame Brack was 9 months pregnant.
Not today, Madame Brack.
Charlemagne ran lickety-split up the bedroom stairs, 4 steps at a time even, to get to his wife's full belly.
It's coming! The baby!
Don't worry, you know. I'm here.
They didn't believe so much in doctors back then. Charlemagne had delivered his first 15 kids himself, and he was prepared to do the same with this one.
Here it comes! Here it comes! Oh, there, number 16.
So she thought.
Why don't I hear it crying?
Because the little bugger just stuck his head out, winked at me, and ducked back in.
Liar.
Seriously?
Charlemagne, after 15 or 16 kids, you can tell me a lie like that. Let me see. You're right.
Told you.
There's no baby down there.
You'll have to try again.
There. There.
Nope. Just let me give me the finger. Then back you went.
Call the doctor. Call the eagle of Poinikamook.
Yes, the eagle.
They called the doctor the eagle because his prodigious schnoz took up so much room on his face, there was hardly room left over for his mouth or eyes. The eagle roared over on his calèche.
What a dumb idea. Knocking your wife up when she's pushing 50. You're a maniac.
Was it my fault that building coffins all day long gets me thinking of Madame Brack? That way.
That way? That way? You've talked that way 15 times already. Enough is enough. Show a little restraint. A good cold dip in that boy, Nigamook.
Just deliver the kid, will you? Land the Goshen, you man. You stand there yapping, and I've got the baby who's too damn ornery to come out and breathe the good country air.
I'll have to use the forceps. Next time he peeks out...
Get ready!
Oh, God, nope. Almost.
I can't watch this. I'll be down at the bar.
Doctor! Oh,
there's his head. Got him. What a stubborn little bugger. I've got a grip on him.
Hooray!
He's out. It's a boy.
A boy.
Ah, a beautiful one. Except for his flattened head and, oh, Lordy, except for the fact that he has 2 dingle dangles.
2 dingle dangles? Impossible. Let me see.
There and there.
Oh, my word. 2 danglers. He's a monster.
There now.
He's a monster. Get rid of him. Throw him in like Poinikamook.
Madame Drac, we are all monsters when you think of it, so what does a little more or a little less of something matter?
But what will Charlemagne...
He'll never know. I'll come back tomorrow and remove that extra dinky easy as possible.
I feel badly about not telling Charlemagne. We share everything. Our dreams, our fears, our deep-seated pessimism.
Don't worry about Charlemagne. There's some things in life a father should never find out. I'll cut off that extra dangler and put it in a nice blue bottle of formaldehyde.
Oh, eagle!
It could be good luck. Perhaps it's a sign this boy is marked for great things in life.
They christened the boy Irbe. He grew up odd. Very odd.
His voice is so high.
He doesn't seem much interested in hockey or poking any of the Fertna girls down the road.
I wonder, Eagle, if maybe you sawed off the wrong dangler.
What? Never mind. I still say that boy is destined for great things.
I've never heard you say that before. If he's so wonderful, why is he so useless in my coffin shop and no good on my farm either? Look at him. Urbain, what the hell are you doing under that tree?
I'm watching the lake for the two-tailed monster.
Urbain!
Wait, Papa. Listen to this poem I just made up.
Oh, no.
In Lac Poinikamook, a monster lurks. A two-tailed beast beneath the murk, living on babies with a seaweed garnish and pregnant mama.
I don't have time for this. Madame Brack. We must confer with the eagle of Poinikamook. We are simple country folk, and we could use the advice of the prodigious nose. The eagle has more brains than one nostril than any 2 encyclopedia.
You want your doctor's frank opinion? Send your mail off to your uncle in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Should I?
You're an old man. He'll drive you crazy. Children can do that even to young parents.
It's not such a bad idea, Charlemagne. In Springfield, he could get work at that rubber tire factory. Your old uncle is nearly deaf, so he won't have to listen to that foolish boy recite his poetry.
But that's so far away.
Well, what is the raindrop? Is it a bit of lake? What is the ice pond? 4 million snowflakes.
Okay, the boy goes to Springfield.
Bye.
He's winding up for a last call. Hey, run for the canal.
The mighty St. Lawrence, flowing by me in swift currents, heading for the ocean in torrents, while I go the other way in a train. Pretty state of Massachusetts. Jeepers. Massachusetts. But pretty state of Massachusetts. Home of deaf old Uncle Woozitz. Better don my new galoshes in case it starts to rain.
Should have sent him to Khartoum.
Uncle, I know you can't hear me, but I'm not completely happy in this Springfield, Massachusetts tire factory.
He misses home.
Bah!
A little?
Not a jot.
Still, he might have left Springfield and come back, except for an important event which suddenly gave meaning to his boring poems and everything that had occupied his defective mind since childhood. He got his idea.
People have gathered. The falls are waiting. The world's breath is on hand, anticipating a terrible end for the boy of peasant stock. Or at least a chickening out after all his big talk. But Urban's head labors neat his dream. His chest swells with pride. Fear flies the scene. A brilliant future is coming to pass. Urbain Braque, hero at last.
Oh, mother of God, that's bad stuff.
It makes my stomach sore.
It fills us with the nameless dread.
What does it mean?
I'm going to shoot Niagara Falls. In a rubber ball.
Oh, mon Dieu. Only Urbain could think of a crazy stunt like that.
It comes from the extra dangler, I tell you.
Maybe.
What is this about an extra...
Nothing. I was just saying your boy was destined for greatness.
Eagle, far be it for a poor and gloomy man like myself to contradict you, but no proof of this greatness is ever offered.
Just like a huge truck tire, my ball will be made of a steel framework covered inside and out by 6 layers of black rubber. Oh, I'll add 32 air chambers, and in each of those, there'll be 35 pounds of oxygen. Imagine that, Deaf Uncle. And then a little tube will run from the exterior of the ball to my room in the interior, and that's how I'll breathe. No, I'm not like the two-tailed monster of La Koenigamook. Not me, huh? I need my air. Finally, I'll add a few flashlights with good batteries and a lid that closes from the inside. And there you have it. Everything I need to shoot the falls.
Yes, it was bizarre. But those were weird times. We weren't all bureaucrats. Life offered more possibilities.
Goodbye, Uncle. I know you can't hear me, but watch the newspaper. Soon I'll be famous!
Falls and falls of Niagara the Great. Mountains of water. I can hardly wait.
Urbain arrived at the falls with his ball, and just like that, fame struck.
Mr. Braque, can you pose for us?
And again, sir. And now a shot of your noble profile.
There on high, Urbain the Magnificent, leaping into the liquid, so brave and confident. My left profile is nice, too.
Madame, look at what it says in the Gazette.
locally birthed poet to shoot falls in ball. It's Ayur Bay.
And to the rocks below, he'll plummet his rubbery home, preventing discomfort.
Charlemagne, call the eagle.
You're not pregnant.
Dumbass, I'm 78. We need advice. The eagle has more brazen one-nose pore than the two of us put together. We have to stop the suicidal venture, and only the eagle can help us.
Will he survive? Will he be maimed? Of course not, see. Because only great fame can furnish such a daring deed. Oh, noble Urbain, in his rubbery deed.
I told you he was destined for greatness.
Since when is suicide greatness?
Ah, there's a certain beauty to dashing out one's brains going over the Niagara.
Listen, Grandpa, he's my son, and even though I threw him out of my house, I have no wish to see him commit such a sacrilege. Eagle, you must stop him.
What can I do?
Grandpa?
I have no control over the story. You'll have to take the train to Niagara Falls and stop him yourself.
Oh, copious falls of the mighty Niagara!
Mr. Brack, more pictures, sir. Mr. Brack, it's the president on the phone!
You are an American hero, Mr. Irvin.
Mr. Brack, it's the prime minister on the phone!
What did the president say just now?
He called me an American hero.
You're an American hero, Mr. Urbane. Yes, sir.
The train bearing a very anxious Charlemagne and Madame Brack and an increasingly drunk eagle raced through the night. I think the doctor was getting drunk because he was feeling a weeny bit responsible.
I must have cut off the wrong dangler. Well, how was I to know, huh?
The doctor was carrying the severed appendage in its little blue bottle of formaldehyde.
Here we are at Niagara Falls. And look, there's Urbain.
Where?
Down there, surrounded by reporters. Reciting idiotic poetry. Eagle. You tell that boy to come to our hotel room a lickety-split.
Well, I can tell you it'll be fruitless to try and dissuade him.
We have to try. It's our duty to God.
Hello?
Son, son, son.
Father, mother, eagle.
You must abandon this dumb plan.
I feel a poem coming on.
Stuff that. Here's 5,000 bucks we saved. That's a lot of coffins. It's for you. Provided you don't shoot the falls in that rubber ball.
You can do what you want with that money, because I'm going ahead with my plan. Keep $5 aside, however, just in case you have to make a coffin for me. Goodbye, Mother, Father, Eagle.
Oh, well, I guess we need heroes, even foolish ones. Didn't I always say that boy was destined for great things?
We'll see about that. Come on, madame. We're taking the train home.
Why, you could at least stick around and see him go over.
Let the boy kill himself if he wants. But madame and I aren't watching. It's home to Pohiganamuk for us.
I think I'll stay here with Grandpa and watch, if you don't mind. I saw Urbain into this world. I may as well see him out of it.
Fine. Then you can pack up the boy's body and accompany it home. I'll have the $5 coffin waiting.
Fearless as the hungriest boar, I journey through the cataract's roar. The ultimate match of Urbain Brack and the Canadian side of Niagara Roar. Not my best poem.
What do you suppose could have been in that poor boy's mind as his rubber ball, with him locked up inside, rocked gently down the river to the edge?
I can tell you, probably not much. Probably reciting bad poetry.
Above the watery grave of martyrdom, I teeter, then topple, then make the plunge!
It's falling now!
It's over the bridge! It's over the falls!
It's in the grave!
He isn't bouncing back!
What's happened to his flotation tank?
Holy Mother of Mary, why isn't my boat bouncing back to the white crescent surface?
It's been a minute now, and still no sign of Urbain Brack.
Water is pouring down my airpipe.
Where are you, my boy? Rise back up!
Come on, Urbain!
Up! Up!
There it is!
There's the ball!
He
Dangler is, could do no less.
I betcha he's even alive.
Unbelievable.
There's the Mavis and this pulling alongside.
Cut him out of the ball.
Careful, you don't slice me by mistake.
He's climbing out.
Congratulations, my boy.
Thank you, Eagle.
He's bleeding.
Nothing major. It's just my head. I banded a bit going over.
Don't bandage it just yet. We need a shot of the open wound.
You can wrap him up now.
Wait! I must recite a poem I composed while going over the falls just now. In his round rubber ball so black, the falls was beaten by Urbain Braque. While thousands stood in fear and watched, Urbain might have been playing hopscotch. And now, he'll conquer the falls of Madeira. A 1,000-foot drop, straight and sheer, where even the white-winged birds are afraid. But not Urbain. His dream is not stayed.
What a damn stupid poem.
Oh, come on, Eagle. Allow the boy his moment in the sun.
But did you hear him mention the Madeira Falls? My heart is heavy with apprehension. Where is that, anyway?
The Madeira Falls are the highest in the world. They are in the heart of Brazil.
Brazil?
South America.
South America?
That's where I'm going next.
But why? You've gone over Niagara Falls in a rubber ball. You've achieved fame without dying. Isn't that enough?
Perhaps it is for other men, but not for me. Niagara Falls was just a tiny dream. And if I'm to be remembered into all eternity, I must have a bigger one.
Won't you? He's become a monster.
And it's the nature of dreams, Eagle. They inflate a man until he bursts.
But Madeira Falls?
I have to go, Eagle. They want me outside. They want more poetry.
Okay, okay. Do what you must do, lad. Where's my case?
Here.
There's a black box in it. Give it to me.
Thank you, Eagle. But what's in it?
Just a bottle, but don't open it now. The contents of the bottle belong to you, and I think it will be a good idea if you take it with you, even as far as Brazil.
If that's what you want.
The bottle contains proof of your greatness.
I'll carry it in my pocket. There's room for all kinds of things in the water dream.
Goodbye, son.
Bye, Urbain.
Bye! Bye!
Well, he's gone.
I can see him from the window.
Look at the crowd waiting for him at the station.
Look how the crowd parts for him.
Like Moses and the Red Sea. He's going to address them. Open the window so we can hear.
Enough of that. Hey, Grandpa, want to split a gallon of gin?
Well, I've got nothing else planned.
I brought a bottle of maple syrup. We can use it for a chaser. Oh, geez, I'm depressed. Half and half? Oh, Grandpa, my prodigious hunger is aching. I'm sad, I'm sick, tired, sore. I'm going to get pissed up, then off the train back to Poenigamook, where I will soon die in silent obscurity.
Yeah, and leaving me to finish this story. That's just great.
Forgive me, Grandpa. It's just that I hate sad endings. Santé!
Skål! Madame and Charlemagne Pratt died in a fire that demolished their coffin shop and the farmhouse. The Eagle of Poenigamook hibernated for the whole winter because the cold air made his huge, intelligent nose ache horribly. When spring finally rolled around, he emerged from his surgery to post a letter to the government of far-off Brazil. He was a dying man, but he wanted to know, before he kicked, how Urbain made out at Madeira Falls. Eventually, a letter came back from Brazil, written in Portuguese. Poor old Eagle died, however, before he could find someone to translate it. I have the letter somewhere in my papers. Where'd I put it? Oh, it's in a tin box. Here it is. The letter's in Portuguese, but I'll read it anyway. The government of Brazil refused to give Urbain Braque permission to shoot Madeira Falls in a rubber ball.
We regret to inform you that the disappointed gentleman climbed to the top of the falls in question
and threw himself off.
What can it mean? What does it mean when small men are consumed by giant dreams?
He was killed. We looked in the shabby old suitcase he was holding as he jumped. In it we found only his rosary and a little black box, which, in turn, contained a little blue bottle. Floating in the bottle was an object which, after detailed forensic examination, we determined to be a small male dingle-dangle. Is there any logic to this?
Nobody cares, do they, Grandpa?
No, nobody cares. Dreams are like countries. Time erases all. I'm an old, awkward storyteller, and sure, I can snatch a few more years for Urbain Braque with my recounting of this tale. And I have time to talk now. I'm retired from the civil service. But it all ends up like Urbain's rubber ball.
Uh-huh. How's that?
They kept the ball in a museum in Niagara Falls for a decade or two. Then they chopped it up into small pieces and threw it in the garbage. Nobody could remember why it was there.
Oh, well.
Yes. It's all in the nature of dreams.
You dream a little, then you die.
And then you die.
Vieillard nods off. But before you slip away, have Madame top up his glass. One more for the road, hein? Salut, au point de fuite.
The Rubber Ball by Victor Lévy Beaulieu. Dramatized for radio by Dave Carley. Featured Ronald Séguin as Charlemagne, Robert Trudel as Grandpa, Laurette Rouillard as Madame Braque, Claude Dorge as the Eagle, and Louise Cloutier as Urbain, with Vern Thiessen, Harry Nelkin, and Richard Hurst. Original music was by Randolph Peters. The series script editor is Sandra Rabinovich, and the voice of Vanishing Point is David Calderisi. The recording engineer was Mark Levesque. Sound effects by Patty Slevin. The Rubber Ball appears in the collection Intimate Strangers, New Stories from Quebec, published by Penguin Books Canada Limited. This radio dramatization was produced and directed in Winnipeg by Martin Fishman. The executive producer of Vanishing Point is William Lane. Until next week, I'm Michael Kramer, wishing you good night.